When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
It's time now for the Morning Monster Podcast with Bobby Raider.
Josh Pate, who joins us this morning. Hey, Josh, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Well, it is a beautiful Monday morning, and there are no thunderstorms all over the place, canceling everything left and right, so I think we're good.
Yeah, a little rough down there late. Late kick Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, joins us. I figure anyone, Josh, who can make a correlation between Jim Harbaugh and the movie Twister deserves to have some airtime this morning. What in the world is that all about?
It was... and I am not overstating this, probably the defining moment of my career. If I am to ever peak, and maybe I don't, but if I'm to ever peak, it happened last night. We were proud of that. We put a little effort into that.
Check it out. Every time we talk, and it hasn't been a lot, but boy, we've talked a lot in the last few weeks, there's a change in the Southeastern Conference, and now that change is that everyone's voted in favor and we're all happy and waiting on 2025. Are we waiting on 2025, Josh, or not?
No, I don't think anyone's waiting on 2025 officially. That's what has to be put on the stationery. I get all that. I don't think there is a skilled way. Let me put it this way. I don't think there is a skilled way to project how everything's going to play out. But I think there is a little common sense in saying the way it eventually plays out is going to include Texas and Oklahoma being here before the year 2025. And I have not talked to a single person either on the TV side or the administrative side of college football or a conference that believes otherwise. Having said that, publicly, for obvious reasons, you have to say it that way. But yeah, what I think is going to happen is I think you'll see some more dominoes fall elsewhere. Not in the SEC necessarily, could be, but not necessarily. And then that'll precipitate more dominoes, as one domino falling tends to do. And the Big 12's hand will be forced, and then you'll see, unfortunately, probably eventually just a dissolving of a conference out there, whatever is going to end up happening to them. But in any event, there is no mechanism with which I think that conference is standing, as is, 4 years from now. So, no, I don't think we'll wait until 2025.
We're talking divisions divisions or pods. I'm told by some pods would make it easier to continue to add teams. What would you like to see in the SEC?
Hey, I'd just like to see them stop at 16. If they stop at 16, I'll take a hexagon. I'll take you splitting up into 10 pods for all I care. But I think the pod system works. I remember a long time ago, for fun, I just sketched that out. When the idea of the super conference first started being talked about back in 2010 or 11, when we had that last round of realignment, and I sketched that out, and I mean, it makes sense. And if you do the rotations right, then it absolutely makes sense. Question becomes, A, are you stopping at 16 teams? And then B, is the conference willing to expand to more conference games per year, which moves to C, and this is a much more down-the-road kind of question. Playing 8 games in the SEC is already something they're not willing to budge off because it's really hard to do. Expanding to 9, A, is a lot more inventory, a lot more entertainment. Fans are happy, but, boy, it becomes harder to go through that thing unscathed, which is not a problem if your playoff committee or whoever's determining your postseason, if they understand how to interpret strength of schedule. I've always believed the SEC stayed at 8 because they did not trust a committee member to look at their conference strength of schedule and interpret it head-to-head against a team from the ACC or the AAC, for that matter.
Maybe we've talked about this. Josh Pate, Late Kick Josh, 24/7 Sports. Maybe we've talked about this, but do you feel like this committee discussion about the 12-team playoff will slow down a bit now because of what happened with Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC?
Yeah, and I think the telltale sign was a couple of months ago when all the news started to break about the playoff, And some people did not hit the brakes on it, but then out of all people, Greg Sankey, who was on the working group, commissioner of the SEC, obviously, he's the one who stepped towards a few microphones and said, well, I know there are a lot of headlines out there that indicate this thing's just imminent, but it's going to be tough before 2025 or 2026. Well, at the time, it just seemed like he was saying that because they thought they had to wait out the current playoff TV deal. In reality, now we know there were multiple reasons why he was saying that. Yes. So, yes, to answer your question, I do think the brakes will be hit on it. If for no other reason, then understanding how much continuity and trust is required in that process. And there's just not a lot of it. When one conference takes a crowbar to the shins of another conference, it is really hard to get them back in the room the next day, and they just dust themselves off and say, all right, you got us. You put me out of business, but let's get back to work.
You talk about other dominoes falling, Josh. Is there a chance that some conferences might say, you know what, let's kind of stay stand put here and see what happens with the SEC, or by doing so, they fall further behind?
Standing pat, unfortunately, financially, is not going to put you in any kind of advantageous position, given that the SEC has made their move. And it's not just the SEC. I know maybe to people out there, there may be many people out there, and God bless you, by the way, if you fit this description, who just want to watch football, and they don't really care about all this stuff, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to them. That person may ask, well, what does it matter if the SEC does something? And why doesn't the Pac-12 reserve the right to just stand still? Well, they technically do. The problem is a little bit down the road when it is assumed that there are only so many TV dollars for your next round of renegotiation. And so the concern is the SEC is going to build such a massive product that ESPN has to spend so much money on it, and they're willing to, so much so that they're working together with them. But ESPN spends so much of that money that it's this zero-sum game, and there is very little TV money left for them to spend on us. And if there's only, and this is what the current presumption is, if there's only one other major player at the table, and that's Fox, then how much money do we really stand to gain? And if we're making a quarter or a third of what they're making, how do we reinvest in our programs to the degree they do? Now, here's the question and the reason I'm kind of speaking hesitantly. It doesn't have to be that way. There could be multiple players come in the college football streaming or TV game between now and the next round of renegotiation that turn that upside down.
Josh Bate joins us on your Late Kick Live alert yesterday when you talk about touchdowns and twisters. You also talk about fall camp things to watch. For Tennessee this year, I know the guys at Sports Source on WATE in Knoxville yesterday were breaking it down. What's the most important thing for Tennessee? One said, well, got to get an established quarterback, got to stay away from injuries, got to get coaches to coach. I mean, Tennessee's got to lock in on someone at quarterback, do they not? I know Bowling Green shouldn't be a problem. Well, neither should have Georgia State, but whatever. But they've got to lock in on one guy, especially with the type of offense that Josh Heupel likes to run.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. I know in everyone's ideal world, 2 weeks into camp, one guy has emerged, and he's the guy. Saddle him up, we're good to go.
Yep.
Obviously, it doesn't always work out that way, but for the long game, because Josh Heupel's here well beyond just the year 2021, and for the long game, when he's trying to establish a program and a culture, and he's trying to galvanize not only a locker room but a fan base, I take as much time as I need. Try to get it done quick, but I take as much time as I need on that quarterback situation. Now, what's fascinating is you're going to, as we start to enter camp later this week, you're probably going to read a lot of headlines, and everyone's got to put out their article about where the smart money is in the quarterback battle. And certainly the sentiment right now is that's a Harrison Bailey, Joe Milton. That's how it's ultimately going to shake out. And all due respect to the other two guys, those have the best shot of winning that job. And I'm not saying that's wrong. What I am saying is I would be very careful marrying yourself to an opinion you have of a guy like Joe Milton who's never taken an organized snap with this team yet, or B, a coach who's never coached a down with this team yet. That's not doubting either one of those guys. What I'm saying is there is precious little tangible evidence we have to go on, and since we've had an entire summer of everything standing still, it just lends time for people to talk, and then you start building up these assumptions, and if they're wrong, they're wrong. Doesn't matter how much you repeat them. So I think Harrison Bailey's going to be very much in that thing. It wouldn't shock me if 3 weeks into camp you're saying, you know, the hooker kid, the head of the hooker kid, Brian Maurer's turned a corner. Anything can happen. All four of those guys have started games before. None of them have played for him, and so anything could happen.
He's Josh Pate. Josh, you're liking this McClellan guy, Alabama, big pop potential, you called it. What's this all about?
Well, he was obviously one of the top running backs in America two cycles ago. Came in last year, played some spot duty for Alabama behind Najee Harris. The Alabama's got a ton of new pieces offensively this year. Alabama's not going to immediately be some offensive buzzsaw at the beginning of this year like they were last year. So part A of that is I think they're going to have to lean on the running back position a little more heavily by necessity than they had the last couple of years. Now, it helps them that they are loaded at that stable even after you lose a guy like Harris. But what Najee Harris brought that was maybe a little bit different than other guys they've had is he was such an effective pass catcher. And even on plays where he was spilling out of the backfield as a decoy, defensive coordinators had to honor that. And Jace McClellan is a second-year guy with them. Got all the explosiveness, got good enough size, got good enough between the tackles ability, but also has speed and I think has the ceiling to be a very good receiving threat out of the backfield, which is the kind of guy they're going to be looking to identify in fall camp, which is why I believe, even though Brian Robinson is probably listed in your preview magazines as their starter at running back, Jace McClellan's probably the guy I'd circle the most in that backfield as a guy who could explode for Bama this season.
He's a fun listen. He's a fun watch. Josh, tell folks where they can keep up with your Late Kick Josh podcast.
Yeah, man. So the Late Kick is on the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. You can also search Late Kick with Josh Pate anywhere you get your podcast. And if you feel so inclined, you can follow me on Twitter at Late Kick Josh.
I always appreciate your time. Have a great week, Josh. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Josh Pate, Late Kick Josh. Check him out.
Catch the Morning Monster weekdays 6 till 10 on 640 WXSM. And be sure to join us next time for another Morning Monster podcast with Bobby Raider right here.